The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yes, four syllables, three words, and yet for too many people, sorry does seem to be the hardest word. According to psychologists, apologising well is a key life skill, and being apology allergic can have wide-ranging effects on career, relationships and even health. Well, News Talk's own reporter Sarah Madden joins me now. She had the sorry task of investigating this one. Welcome to the studio, Sarah.
Good morning, Ivan.
And now, a very, very interesting topic.
It really is, Ivan. It's been fascinating to look into because apologising isn't just a skill, as you mentioned there. It's an art and even a science. There's formulas to apologising, and we'll get into that a little bit later. There's so much more to it than really meets the eye at first. And even though we're taught from a really early age how to apologise, why we need to apologise, when they're necessary, it doesn't seem to make them any easier for many of us adults to say a seemingly simple sorry decades on.
I definitely think people over-apologise for things. I would be victim of that myself, like saying sorry when, even though I know I'm not in the wrong, but I'm using it as a way to kind of diffuse the situation.
Do you think you're good at apologising?
The older I get, I find it easier to apologise.
Of course. What do you mean, no? I don't know who this woman is.
I'm trying to be. But I've had times where I haven't spoken to somebody for a long time because both of us are upset and neither person thinks they're wrong, so they don't apologise.
Well, I think it has to be sincere. A sincere apology. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And it's nice to admit you're wrong because it just helps relationships.
Do you think Irish people are good at saying sorry when they're in the wrong?
No.
Not particularly, no.
No. It's usually, I'm sorry you feel that way, or sorry, I'm such a terrible person. It's never, well, it can be sincere, but not normally.
Why do you think people find apologies so hard?
No, it's a bit like saying I love you. I feel like it's a hard word to say. It's not that common here. People don't say it, I think. I don't know what it is. We're a bit stubborn.
You're afraid it won't be accepted as well. You know, you're afraid you'll get a lecture, like, that's hard to hear then sometimes, you know. It's making you vulnerable, like, yeah.
But I think it is really important to, like, to move past an argument or to solve a problem between people or between a situation or whatever, that apologies are really important.
I'm all for apologies. I think the more apologies, everybody will get on a little bit better. Right. If people will accept them.
Lots of reluctant apologisers there, Sarah.
Yeah, that's not counting the people, Ivan, who were very sorry, but they just didn't have time to stop and talk to me. I have not forgiven them. But I've been looking into these numbers, Ivan. It's really interesting. Okay, the average person says, I'm sorry, or sorry, 8 to 10 times per day. Now, there is a cultural element to that, though. For example, a survey found that British people actually apologise as many as 18 times a day. Though we're still waiting for that apology, of course, for 800 years of colonial rule. We might just have to let that one go. But there is reason to believe that Irish people apologise far more than that 8 to 10 average. Emma Doran is a comedian and she created this viral video. It's called Sorry Girl and it is the classic Irish over-apologiser.
I film sometimes with my cousin and I called over to his house and his fiance was there. And she did that classic thing of I was calling over and she decided now she should start tidying up. So we were chatting about the thing we were going to film and she's walking through the sitting room with a black bin bag, emptying the bins in the kitchen. Sorry, sorry. But like, she's like, as if I'm going to look in her bins and say, God, her bins are so full. What has she been at all day? Do you know what I mean? But the idea kind of came from her. So there's all these clips of me going around saying sorry. And the end of it kind of escalates quite rapidly. But the end of it is I'm ringing the doctor to say I'm still not feeling better. And then I'm kind of apologising for ringing. And they say, oh, don't worry about me. It's fine. I'm so sorry to bother you. And then I'm dead. And then I come back as a ghost. And my ghost wants to apologise. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry for dying. That must have been so inconvenient for you and all. So when I put that up, I couldn't believe the reaction because people were like, that's me. Worst case of saying sorry was when I was in having a baby and I was getting stitches after and I was apologising because it was quite uncomfortable, quite painful. And then my mother came in, this is my first baby, and she was like, did they not numb you or whatever? And I was like, no. And basically what had happened is the person doing the stitches had assumed that I'd had an epidural and I hadn't. So I was like, yes, I was like flinching and squirming and like breathing heavily, and I kept apologizing. At no point did it like occur to me, maybe it shouldn't be this painful.
So if you could then kind of in a nutshell sum up the Irish apology.
I think it's the 10 times more than you should for kind of trivial things and not apologizing at all for serious things. Like everyone I know, there is somebody within their extended family who we now don't speak to in the family, and nobody really knows why. And there's kind of whispers and murmurs of, well, there was the thing. Oh, I'm sure that was that. And it really feels like a lot of the time, now somebody could just be an absolute nuisance, but a lot of the time it just feels like a breakdown of communication, that somebody had to say sorry first. I do think there are instances of that where somebody just had to say sorry first. It has to be someone to go first.
I'm sure there'll be lots of listeners out there nodding their heads at that one.
Myself included, Ivan. But it might just be more than pride that's getting in the way of our apologies, that's making us reluctant to apologise in the first place. This is so interesting. Researchers in Australia actually looked into the impact of apologies a couple of years back, and they were trying to find out if that kind of old adage, apologise, you know, it'll make you feel better, actually had some truth in it. And what they found was that, yes, apologies can make the apologiser feel better, but refusals to apologise also make people feel better. And in fact, in some cases, they make them feel better than an apology would have made them feel. So they say that refusing to apologise can make you feel empowered. And that power and that control, I guess, seems to translate into greater feelings of self-worth.
And that may go some way towards explaining the non-apologiser-in-chief, President Donald Trump.
It might go some way to explain that, yeah. But I think we'd need a forensic psychiatrist to go through that fully. It is true, though, that men find it harder to apologise than women. I think there'll be a lot of women out there saying, yeah, obvious. It seems like they apologise less, at least. There's a really interesting lady called Susan McCarthy, and she and her colleague Marjorie Ingall, they have this blog. It's called Sorry Watch. And for the last 15 years, they've used it to critique public apologies. They're probably about as close as we can find to sorry experts.
It is true that women apologize more, but the research seems to show that when men think they've done something wrong, they're just as likely as women to apologize, but that men have a different standard for things, for what is worth apologizing for. So it's different standards for what are apology level acts. Marjorie in particular did a lot of research on medical apologies, which are much rarer than they should be, but which are becoming more common because there have been studies that show that if doctors and or hospitals apologize for mistakes that they've made and they make a good apology, the rate of lawsuits, malpractice lawsuits, goes way down. I don't think there's a shelf life, and that's a question we get a lot. I remember we did a presentation in Seattle and someone in the audience raised their hand and said, is 14 and a half weeks too late to apologize? And so we knew they were talking about something very specific. And we said, no, it's not too late. I got an apology once for being dropped in high school. And I got that apology something like 20, 25 years later at a reunion. And it meant so much to me. It meant so much to me.
That's actually lovely. Mm. So there's no statute of limitations on apologies then?
No official statute of limitations, but I do think it's really up to the person receiving the apology. And they can be a really long time coming. Again, researchers have said it's not actually uttering those words, I am sorry, or I'm sorry if you're going to go for the contraction, my bad, if you want to be very casual about it. It's admitting to yourself beforehand that you have done something wrong, that you've done something that's worth apologising for. And that's obviously going to threaten, you know, our sense of self. It's going to give us anxiety, maybe guilt or shame. We're obviously going to avoid those feelings if we possibly can. But getting to sorry, as difficult as that can be for some people, has really positive effects, not just on the apologiser, but on the apologee. So, you know, we know some of those. Obviously, it's going to reduce those feelings of shame and guilt, all the rest of it. But scientists have actually studied the bodily functions of people receiving an apology. And they found that blood pressure decreases, heart rate slows, breathing becomes steadier. It's absolutely fascinating. And obviously for the apologizer, it's going to diffuse those negative emotions. So I suppose the other thing about apologizing is that you're going to feel a bit humiliated. And that, I suppose, is a deterrent from, you know, future bad behaviour. So that's a little talked about benefit too.
OK, well, that leads us nicely then to the political apology.
Yes, a rare event, Ivan. Rarer than it should be, I'm sure. But our political correspondent, Sean Defoe, actually thinks they're becoming more common, which is interesting, at least here in Ireland. I caught up with him outside the home of the state apologisers, Leinster House.
Look, it is in many ways. There have been so many state apologies here over the last 20, 25 years. I was just looking through a list of all of them when you go back. And ones that you forget were formal state apology events, you know, to the family of Shane O'Farrell only a couple of weeks ago. Then you go back to cervical check, you go back to the mother and baby homes. Like, state apologies have become much bigger a thing and a much bigger event around Leinster House. Now, I suppose we're acknowledging as a country these things that historically went wrong, at least, and now saying sorry for them.
There was a time at least when it was very difficult for a politician to say they were sorry. Why so?
I think it still is for a lot of them, because you say sorry, you're admitting doing something wrong, and a lot of them don't want to actually get to that point and say, yes, I've done something wrong here. So like, there's different ways that it depends on what they're caught up in. It's not the thing that catches you out, it's lying about it and trying to hide it. And that's where the apology comes in. And you've seen politicians take different approaches. If you look at Golfgate, for example, the only real big casualty of Golfgate was Phil Hogan. And he was one of the people who said, tauntedly at the start, no, I've done nothing wrong here, I didn't break anything. And he lost his position as EU Commissioner and didn't get anything back on it. Whereas if you look at someone like Derek O'Leary, straight away resigned, apologised as a minister. He's now back as a senior minister a couple of years later, and within a couple of years was a junior minister again. All because he was able to say sorry and read the moment at the time. So it has shaped careers, being able to say sorry, and the other ones who weren't able to say sorry hid it and ultimately got caught for whatever it was they were doing. Like, my favourite political apology, people think of all the big ones, they'll think of Clinton and everything, was actually a very minor one from Enda Kenny back in 2016 during the election campaign. And he got up at a speech in Castlebar during the election and called the people of Castlebar whingers for wanting more out of him over the years. And the next day he was asked by News Talk, do you regret those comments? He said, no, I don't regret them at all. And two or three days of controversies later, he comes back in, I'm very sorry for the comments I made about the people of Castlebar, and it wasn't about, you know. Like, so they just, it's the ones like that that stick with me over years of covering these apologists.
Yeah, and of course there is what's called the formal state apology, which has been given after tribunals and so on. So what's the formula for a good apology, and what makes a bad one, Sarah?
Well, I think you know you've made a bad apology, Ivan, when you have to apologise for the apology that you gave. If you find yourself apologising more than once, you probably haven't given a successful apology. But for the real advice, I spoke to a counselling psychologist by the name of Aoife Durkin. She also goes by the Highly Sensitive Psychologist on Instagram. And she talked me through the tenets of an apology well made, and of course, how not to mess it up.
Well, the first thing when we're thinking about this, Sarah, is that we really want to be able to say, even if we don't necessarily understand why the person is upset or what we've done, we want to be able to say that, look, I've obviously done something or said something that's hurt you, and I'm sorry for that. Mm-hmm. That we care enough about the other person and the relationship to want to be able to repair that, even when we don't really understand what it is necessarily that we've done. And I think that can be kind of complex because, you know, so often maybe the bad apology, or when that doesn't work, is when we don't necessarily understand what it is that the other person's upset about, so that we say, I'm sorry if you're confused, or I'm sorry if you misunderstood, or I'm sorry, but. And that kind of constitutes maybe an apology that we don't necessarily take ownership or accountability for. A good apology across the board is just that pause, the compassion and the wisdom to be able to self-reflect and to be able to say, where can we go here now? And how can we fix this? It's okay to apologise, you know, and more than that, it's a great thing. And ruptures and repairs are just so natural in relationships. But knowing that we will all at some stage hurt people by accident and unintentionally, but being able to own that and take responsibility for that shows a level of maturity.
Right. Lots of listeners having their view, and a couple of kind of emerging points. Irish people say dozens of unneeded sorries a day in every situation, but struggle to say real apologies, says Joe in Galway. Claire says, we say sorry for irrelevant things, but not for real issues. Mm. Paddy in Termonfeckin says, Ivan, a bugbear of mine is everybody now says sorry all the time, especially in shops. We used to say, excuse me, but it seems since lockdown, it's all sorry all the time, even when not necessary. And Helen in Galway says, I think we use sorry instead of the word excuse me. And then someone else makes the point, what about making amends? We're always taught that it was an essential part of an apology.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
I actually think psychologically, forgiveness is the most important thing. Because if you're not prepared to forgive someone who has apologized for a mistake, you're actually not letting it go. And you're actually burning yourself up. So I think the ability to forgive, I think, you know, the secret to apologising is just devalue the currency. Ooh. You know, and carry on. Okay, Sarah Madden, great report on that. Keep the texts coming.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.